and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 484. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Dan Sullivan.
Hello.
And Matthew Ford.
Hello.
In a change to our usual lineup, which is Matthew telling me that there's noisy stuff going on outside his window, or a cat is scrabbling to get in, or there's a removal men trying to take an entire house to pieces, and therefore there might be some noise on his mic. I have actually got someone felling a tree directly outside my window.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
You normally have to pay for that, don't you? That's like a pay-per-view.
I know, right? It was quite good, actually. When they're taking down the top bit, it is impressive to see a dude like, you know, because these are big trees. I live next to Bournemouth Gardens, so all the trees are like higher than all the three-story houses. So massive. And he's, dangling over the top of my window with a chainsaw.
Lovely.
It's very Nicolas Cage's Mandy. in a way that I massively approve of. I just hope it doesn't end the same way. So how is everybody? I understand you're a little bit under the weather, Dan.
Yeah, I'm a bit ill, but I'll try and keep the noises away from the microphone.
It's all right. So we've got some coughing, some spluttering, some chainsaws. Matthew, what are you bringing to the table in terms of background noise?
Oof.
Heavy breathing,
no
by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
That's all right, we'll take it. At least it doesn't get too excited. So, what have we got going on this week? Quite a busy news week, actually. So, we've got news about the new AR shooter Reality Clash, which is arriving in the West at the same time that the Ingress anime is appearing on Netflix. So, we're going to talk AR for a moment. We've also got news, big news, about Psyonix, which is the guys behind Rocket League, being bought by Epic, and what that means for everybody playing on the Switch, for example. And we do have to talk about the Sonic trailer. I'm sorry, we have to. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of new releases, including the likes of Kingsman: The Secret Service, Audia, Golf Blitz, and more. But first, the news. So regular listeners might remember when Rick and I were talking about this before Rick Cowley left, RIP, he's dead now, a game called Reality Clash, which was an AR game that was roaming around in alpha or in beta. He'd gone and had a go at it at some event. And the idea behind it is it's a Ingress-style game where you're wandering around doing geolocation reality stuff. So you're looking at a map as you wander the street. And you start to encounter other people who maybe have the app. And then if you want to, if you've got two people nearby who both have the game, you can choose to engage them in AR combat. So literally, you kind of sign up. Do you want to play? Do you want to fight? Let's fight. And then suddenly you hold up your phone and you can kind of see the world around you in AR mode and the other person holding the phone represented as an AR character. And then you're literally like shooting each other, like you're playing Quasar or Laser Quest or something in real life. So you're moving around and you're ducking and you're hiding behind things and all that business. I haven't played it. Rick played it, said it was interesting and weird, but he had reservations about it because you kind of have to approach strangers for real in real life and say, do you want to play this game? And that opens up a potential whole world of awkwardness and potentially hurt. But it's finally come to Europe and the UK. I don't know if this is actually out finally, or whether this is considered early access or beta or whatever, but it's available in the Google Play Store and the App Store. The reason why we're mentioning it here instead of in the new release is because A, none of us have played it yet. And B, this is yet another AR app that seems to be making waves beyond things like Pokemon Go, beyond things like Ingress, and also a game that I played last week, which I didn't talk about because it's not out yet, which is Angry Birds AR, Isle of Piggies. It's called Isle of Pigs. And it does the AR thing where the pig fortress builds in the middle of your room or the middle of your table or wherever you're pointing your camera. And then you move around it. Yeah, on the stairs in my case. I did do a video of the hands-on with it prior to the review that we'll do when it does come out. But it works surprisingly well. How much experience have you guys had with AR? And what do you think about it as like useful or playable mobile tech?
So I'm a big Pokemon Go fan. I played it for probably a good year and a half since it was out, and then I've dropped off maybe the last few months, but I do jump in back and forth again.
Mm.
I do actually love the new camera function they introduced. Any Pokemon you've captured, you can like load up basically anywhere in front of you. So there's been loads of very interesting pictures of people around the world. You know, they load up their favorite Pokemon and then you get some flashy photos with them.
Oh, so, I see.
That's pretty cool. Angry Birds looks cool though, because am I right in thinking you catapult the birds themselves, like, so you're like dragging them back and then flicking them.
That's right. It's like the phone itself becomes the catapult, so you just drag backwards on the screen and then you can just walk around the object in 3D space and then release and ping it off. So it's got a nice sense of, again, like Quasar, but with virtual catapults where you are pinging stuff out in front of you into the virtual world. So it does feel quite engaging in that way. Have you dabbled with AR at all, Dan?
I've played on Pokemon Go. I'm quite interested in this reality clash game, other than its weird name. but it's also got, because you can build your guns, a bit like the gunsmithing stuff in Ubisoft games, and you can find parts and you can go to safe zones and heal yourself if you lost in those fights. And it's one of those things that I think is only really going to work in cities or very, very large towns. But
Or in small villages with two really committed players.
Yeah, true.
Dave! Hi, Dave!
Meet you on the lawn at 10.
That's it, just the two of you. This, like, long-running grudge match that goes on and on.
You can then build the guns and sell the guns for their cryptocurrency that they've got tied to the game. And there's blockchain tracking on the weapons. And it's all of the new buzzwords rolled into one. But I do think it looks quite interesting. I like how it puts, because it's really kind of more like VR, isn't it, really, when you go into the fight. But it puts obstacles into the VR fight area, which if you're out in an open area, it makes it, quite fun to run around and hide and dodge and shoot and stuff. So
the trailer is hilarious. Like, I do love it how there's two guys basically just shooting it out, and then there's one bloke sat on the bench in the middle of them who's going, what the hell is happening here?
Yes, you can't look cool doing either of these two bits of tech. It's not what they're for,
but really. I guess you just get numb to it, don't you? And if you're completely numb to it because you've stood around with Ingress waving your phone around, or stood around with Pokemon Go hanging around outside the shops like a 12-year-old skiving from school, then you're probably already in a good place to shoot people with a gun.
It's like no anything. If there's a community behind it, you know, it'll thrive.
And a good way of generating that is going cross-media, which is what Ingress has done, which is bizarre. So Ingress, which is the game upon which Pokemon Go is based, the architecture of Pokemon Go comes from Ingress. They made this thing where you're just wandering around the streets and, you know, it uses, I don't know if it uses Google Maps directly, but it maps the real world, and then you are supposed to go and deliver parcels and drop off things. And then they went, oh, we'll do that, but with Pokemon. Use the same tech and you have Pokemon Go, which took off. However, Ingress now has a Netflix animation called Ingress the Animation, which you've had a go at, Dan.
Oh, it's really good. I've watched the first three episodes of it, and I definitely want to watch the rest. They're only about 20 minutes long, these episodes, as well. There's 11 of them. But it's pretty cool. Like, Ingress relaunched as Ingress Prime back in 2018.
Yeah, because the original one was 2013, 2014, something
like
that.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. And it was, as you said, it was more about delivering stuff and moving around and doing this and that. And whereas 2018's relaunch gave it this kind of gritty, almost edgy relaunch where they were like, oh, the app is actually a secret government program that's leaked, and you can believe it's just a game if you want, or you can go around and save the world by controlling this dark matter. And it's all about capturing these zones, and if you capture adjacent ones, then they form this triangle, and the area within switches to your faction. And that ties into the anime. The gist of the story is some big generic bad guy, millionaire, has figured out that there's exotic matter, and it's been around for millennia, and is trying to create a form of it called dark matter that they can use as a weapon. And then, like, there are these people called sensitives who grew up in areas where there was lots of this exotic matter, and so they've got slight superpowers, especially when their area is controlled by a faction that they're within. So it ties into the app quite well.
Well, this is another one in the wave of computer games going over and being turned into TV series. So we had, like, Hyperlight Drifters recently been confirmed for getting its own Netflix series.
Yeah. And the
Castlevania
obviously.
One. Witcher is coming as an actual live-action TV series. So, yeah, this is all taken off very nicely. But, yes, the AR stuff is also picking up steam. Along with, we should mention, VR. So it's not technically out until the end of May. So, again, not in the out and about section. But Oculus Quest has now hit reviewers' tabletops, and we've done our review of it. Harry did the review for Oculus Quest, and this is relevant to us because it's the first proper full VR mobile experience from Oculus. So it is effectively an Oculus Rift without the cables, without the need for a PC, without the need for external sensors. This unit has cameras built into the mask at the front. You just turn around and you scan your room and that's it. You're off. You just go. You don't need to worry about setting anything else up. You've got the controllers that are very similar to the Oculus Touch controllers. You've got full movement around the room. You're not rooted in one spot and tilting like you've had with Samsung Galaxy VR and other things, the Google Daydream. It's proper full VR. It comes with some caveats, the main one being that the headset is a bit heavier because you've got to actually have all the computing power in the headset rather than just a dumb screen. And obviously, it's not as powerful as if you were running it off your PC. So it can't do things like, for example, I play Elite on mine, and obviously it doesn't have Elite in it. It has some of the smaller games. It does have a lot of crossover with the library on Oculus Rift, though. So, for example, it's got Beat Saber, which is essential and one of the best games. It's got, what's the other one? It's got Robo Recall, which is probably the best first-person shooter experience in VR you can get, next to Superhot, I suppose. And that one, you can see the difference graphically. So it's amazing they've got it to work on this fully mobile system. Very impressive. But you can see this is where it's sort of taken a hit slightly in the visuals because it just can't, you know, run it. It doesn't have the same powerful hardware as your PC might. But apart from those caveats, it's genuinely impressive and the best mobile VR experience you can possibly get, according to Harry, who's done the review of it. Go and have a look at the review. It's $399, it's going to be launching at, for the 64 gigabyte option, and then more for the 128 gigabyte one.
Not too bad.
Not too bad for a complete VR experience.
Yeah, especially on the go.
Yeah, and one that actually genuinely works. So yes, it's expensive. Yes, it's, you know, not going to look quite as good as the Rift, but a lot of people are put off by like, oh, I've got to have the cables and I've got to upgrade my PC and get a new graphics card, and suddenly it's 700, 800, 1,000, 1,500 pounds. This is 400 for legit full mobile wireless VR, and that is properly exciting. So I kind of want to have a go on it and just compare and contrast. But check out the review. That's cool stuff. Let's go business for just a moment. We've got Epic upsetting Steam and Steam users yet again. So with the Epic Store coming out, they've been doing a few things to try and draw people over from other retailers, primarily Steam, but then I guess, you know, GOG and all other places who flog PC games. And we had that issue where, was it Fallout that was temporarily exclusive? What have been the exclusives on Epic that made people upset?
Borderlands,
that was it. They've just announced.
Obviously, we've got the Rocket League news. There have been other games. I feel like it might have been Fallout. Although Bethesda had their own launcher for a while, but they managed to get, what are they called? Improbable, who are based up in London, who do a lot of kind of like back-end generation for people to switch over so that all projects that use Improbable will have to be on the Epic Store exclusively, which I think includes things like, was it Worlds Apart from Bossa?
Oh, yeah.
And some other games, because the infrastructure that they built their games on moved over through this multi-million pound deal that at the time looked super duper shady, and it orchestrated like Improbable were like, one day they were like, oh, Steam do these horrible things to us. And then 6 hours later, they were like, we've signed a multi-million pound deal with Epic. And then Phoenix Point recently has signed over to the Epic Store, which I have mixed feelings about, but I have loaded my pre-release copy onto the Epic Store and installed the Epic Store.
I did as well, because I got Subnautica when they put that free for the, because it's VR, it's another VR one. So I grabbed that, which is obviously a very good game. But this is an insane coup, because Rocket League has, you know, become one of the most popular games, multiplayer games, ever, I guess. I know everything is Fortnite now, but Rocket League is still huge. And one of the ones that works cross-platform, and they've been, you know, bringing it onto every possible platform they can. I'm still waiting for it to turn up on mobile. I still think it might.
I mean, Epic have released big games that no one expected on mobile.
Absolutely.
So if it's going to do it.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Totally. And now they've got it. They've bought the developer, and they now are going to be pulling it from the Steam store. People are obviously furious about this because people like to be furious about things. I've got to imagine most people have already got it. The people who are raging have already bought it off of Steam. So, you know, whatever.
And it will be supported on Steam. They will leave it there. It's just that you won't be able to purchase it on there. Hopefully they'll keep the servers up. I don't think it's running on Steam's infrastructure. But the thing is, with Rocket League, it's a sequel to Supersonic Acrobatic Battle Cars, which released on
terrible name, didn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Powered Battle Cars.
And it had a shorter version. Yeah.
It had a theme song and everything, and it was fantastic.
It was a great game. It was a mod for Unreal Tournament. So it makes sense, I suppose, that if Epic are going to acquire any company, they're going to acquire the most successful independent company that has developed a game using their engine and bring it into the fold.
Yeah.
But as well as that, it's another game that, like you said earlier, James, is notoriously cross-platform. Epic are the people who accidentally switched on cross-platform play on Fortnite between the PlayStation and the Xbox last year, or maybe the year before.
Sony went, don't do that.
We told everyone that was impossible. And Epic went, well, I guess it's not impossible then. Sorry, big mistake. We won't do it again. And they've got this kind of like cocky kid at school attitude to things. But because of that, we saw things like Rocket League go across other platforms as well. I don't know. It's a very rough business practice that they're doing. It was dressed up initially as consumer friendly, as like Steam is this big giant and we will make the PC not revolve around this big single marketplace that dominates everything. But it is ultimately just profit driven.
Yeah, well, they framed it as this: we're going to be giving developers a much bigger cut. We're only going to take, say, like 12% or something, and Steam takes 30 or whatever. Yep. So they were framing it as being like the consumer-friendly family co-op style thing. Yep. But now what it's turned into is we're going to get as many exclusives, platform exclusives as we can, which, again, any exclusives, whether like it's only available for one console, I think no one really likes that practice. Even if you've got the console, like, I don't relish particularly the fact that, for example, Bloodborne was only available on PlayStation 4 and you can't get it on Xbox. Yep. Like, I'm not like, screw you, Xbox, blah, all that. I'm like, well, I'm glad I have it because I have a PlayStation, but I'd like Xbox players to play it as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't take any pleasure from the fact that it's exclusive to one platform. I mean, ideally, everyone can get involved and play it. So this sort of stuff is a bit like, okay, it's just going to be turned into the war of the multi-billionaire companies. And that's less...
Which benefits no one except for the multi-billionaire companies. And the other thing to consider, of course, or two things to consider, but the other thing to consider, of course, is that there's a difference between a game being exclusive because you as a company helped fund it. Like, Microsoft made Halo. It was an internal project. And Sony helped fund Bloodborne. And so it became... Yeah. An exclusive product. But Rocket League has been out for 257 years, and so Epic did not pop a single penny into that pot. So
it's
that exclusivity is literally just about holding the balls.
It'll be interesting to see going forward how Rocket League's used, because it didn't really become a thing until it was put in the PlayStation Plus monthly giveaways. And then every man and his dog got it basically from there. And now I believe it's like one of the top owned PlayStation games.
The benefit of this being the acquisition by Epic, and therefore they now have sort of some control over it, is it won't be a repeat of the EA Mass Effect use our engine situation, which seems to have caused a lot of problems for Mass Effect. This whole thing where anyone who is owned by EA has to use Frostbite and everyone complains about that. And they had massive issues with Mass Effect Andromeda and likewise with Dragon Age and things like that. Whereas this, as you say, they made it using the Unreal Engine, so this is Epic. They're not going to make them use a different engine, so it shouldn't affect the game development going forward or the live support or whatever sequel they choose to make. This is just who can make the most money off of it, and that's less interesting from a consumer perspective. Just want the games to be good, really.
That's all we ask.
Epic are making it easy for people to see them as villains. I know that consumers generally jump on anyone when an exclusive forms or is cancelled or whatever, but just last week we were talking about the crunch situation at Epic, so they're really not on a good PR trail, and developers in time will possibly start moving away from them and say, no, I'll stick with Steam. I know Epic have literally got a string of like 12-13 carrots that they're dangling, but I don't know.
It's worth noting that people from Psyonix used to work at Epic Games.
Yeah.
So this acquisition is sort of predictable.
Yeah, coming home to some degree.
Yeah, in some form, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they used the term family as well, didn't they? We're joining the epic family.
That's right, yeah.
Full Fast and Furious. So yeah. About the family.
They'll all be having a barbecue together.
Yeah.
Well, talking about beloved properties and massive companies losing the faith of consumers, let's talk Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. There's not a great deal to say on this, really, especially with the revelation of what's happened, I think, this morning or late yesterday. So, yeah, the Sonic trailer came out, and as we expected from seeing the few bits of leaked imagery and whatnot beforehand, we're like, Sonic looks a bit weird. Are those human legs? Is this a furry costume? What is this? And then the trailer came out in its full glory, and,
it's horrendous.
It's like scarier than the Dark Crystal.
What's that?
Oh, you're so young, Matthew. So young! But actually, that's coming back onto Netflix, so you'll know soon. Don't worry.
Okay.
But Google Skeksis, if you can spell that. S-K-E, starting with. And then you'll see what I mean. Yeah, it's awful. It was awful. And I don't want to jump on this, like, people having massive meltdowns because of a small cartoon designed for children doesn't look like the thing they think it should look, because it's not, like, important in the scheme of things. But it is uncanny valley weird, because they've made him look human. I'm sure you've all seen the trailer. And everything about the trailer is bad in terms of the way that the character is reproduced. Just in the way that it's, like, composited into the shots, it looks bad on a basic technical level.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the only saving grace is possibly Jim Carrey.
But even that's weird, because he's doing old Jim Carrey. He's he's doing Ace Ventura Mask stuff.
He's not Robotnik. He's, as you say, Jim Carrey from like the 90s, but sort of funny. I mean,
Last shot where he looks a bit Robotnik, that's all right. But he's like a sort of skinny mustachioed dude running around being incredibly big. I guess you can do what you like with Robotnik. He doesn't have a character really, does he? In the game,
he just has a moustache.
But then you look at this. This is set in the real world. The problem with this as a writer, I guess, is that Sonic's not going to actually have any damn narrative. So the main character of this film is just going to be Robotnik. When you think about it, like from a writing perspective, the only person who's actually got any drive is going to be Robotnik. Sonic's entire point in the story is going to be, I don't want bad people to do bad things to me.
But you forget that Sonic wants to run fast.
Well, how I understand how it's working is Sonic is actually an alien.
That's what I read, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that last shot of Jim Carrey looking like the actual Eggman / Robotnik.
On the Mushroom Planet.
Yes, you can see it's, I think it's Mushroom Hill.
Yeah.
That's what people are thinking it is. So I imagine maybe the last act of the movie, they end up going to Sonic's world and then, I don't know.
Or maybe we get to see Nightmare Tails and Nightmare Knuckles as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this was terribly ill-conceived from the very beginning. It should just be a big CGI movie. Rather than this live-action stuff. Why are the military in there? It feels like that Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff where the military have to turn up for no freaking reason. However, the fans have won. And I'm not sure if this is good or bad or not. Because the massive backlash has prompted the director of the film to jump on Twitter and say, okay, we've heard you. We're changing the design.
Yeah.
Did you not see this?
They're going to replace it with a person in blue man suit.
I hope so. I hope so. They
just the child that they got in to do the body scanning. They're just gonna remove the special effects and just have a child there with a weird ball on their head.
It's good in lots of ways. Obviously, we're gonna get hopefully a Sonic that actually looks like Sonic and not this creature. The downside to this and worrying side is that obviously a lot of artists and animators are maybe going to have to do a lot of overtime
to get this. Here comes the crunch.
Yeah, so I'm hoping the movie gets delayed and they're just like, look, we need to go back to the drawing board, figure this out, and then come back when it's ready. You know, that whole thing with games, you know, all the time games are delayed and we praise them. With movies, that rarely happens.
Well, yeah. Somebody, a graphic designer, did that thing where they used like Photoshop to pull the character about in one frame and make him look a lot more Sonic-y rather than a 10-year-old in a set of pyjamas and with large human teeth.
The teeth.
But you're right, yeah, it will create a lot more work for this. I thought what you were going to say is that the problem is that when people bend to massive consumer outrage, it breeds more massive consumer outrage.
That was the second point, yeah. I don't give the fans what they want. Fans don't know what they want. Fans are idiots.
Yeah.
People should not be listened to at any cost.
This is like asking kids what they want for dinner. It's like, oh, yeah. Ice cream again. No, yeah.
In most cases, yes, but... No, this needs changing. I mean, I'm actually quite a big Sonic fan. I used to play a lot of the 2D games, but I'm actually quite a big fan of the 3D games, which I realise there is quite a lot of bad games there.
That's a hill to die on.
Yeah, I beat someone.
But I will defend that there is... Sonic Unleashed is one of my favourite games, and it's got its good and bad parts, but the day levels are incredible.
Was that the werewolf one?
It is, yeah. So there's like Sonic Colours again, which is brilliant, Sonic Colors Generations. So there are very good Sonic games out there. It's just, unfortunately, there's quite a lot of dire games, and unfortunately they get thrown to the front of media for the most part. It's just ironic. You look at Detective Pikachu and look how the Pokemon Company has handled it, and that film's getting incredible reviews, and it looks like it's breaking the video game curse, and then...
It's around about 55-60. It's not getting incredible reviews. It's getting like, it's all right. But then all right is an incredible review for a video game movie.
Really? So, I'm surprised about that. I was seeing so many people coming out saying, you know, it's fantastic. It's everything we wanted.
I think the fan bit on Rotten Tomatoes is going to be high versus the critical bit, if you see what I mean. Mm. But it certainly looks like they've done a better job of it than they have with this. But yeah, daft that they thought this would work in the first place, but also, yeah, I'm concerned about the precedent. I'm not trying to be mean and say that, like, fan concerns should be ignored, but in the incredibly entitled culture in which we currently live, where, you know, this really kicked off, I think, exemplified by the Mass Effect 3. I think that's where it started for me.
Yep, with games,
The massive consumer backlash against the way that ended, and then BioWare, like, scrabbling to try and fix it to appease people who basically couldn't be appeased in the first place. So it was sort of a waste of time, and that was the end of such a massive project, and then they just were completely disheartened and had the wind taken out of their sails by it all because they were disappointed, inverted commas, the fans, and owed it to the fans and all this stuff. It's like, no, don't. It doesn't... not owed it. Don't be stupid. Like, this is a thing that people have made as an entertainment. You can like it, you can not like it. You can feel disappointed by it, but...
You look at Mass Effect 3 and how they changed for the fans. That really helped them get massive sales for Mass Effect... Andromeda, didn't it? And then, which was a raging success.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, it all worked out lovely.
Yeah, it worked out brilliantly for them.
So, do not kowtow. We don't know what we want. We know the thing that we don't want. That's the thing with fans. That's why focus testing movies is such a bad idea in some cases, because it's like, I didn't like that bit. That's that. No, don't do that. And you go, okay. And then you do something else and they don't like that either. And there's no, you just, people can't necessarily tell you what they want when they don't know what it is and how it will look and how it will feel. You only know it when you try it and go, oh, I don't like that. And that's it. So that's what they've done here. And the film will be crap regardless of how Sonic looks. I'm sorry. I'm calling it now. It's going to be garbage. I don't care if he looks like a 10-year-old in a furry suit or if he looks like actual Sonic. Just do a little, you know, full CGI, Pixar-style Sonic-y thing.
Yeah, the Sonic Boom TV series is really funny and it's got some terrific writing. So, you know, it's stuff like...
You really are a Sonic fan, aren't you?
I am, but this is the thing. Sonic's actually been slowly rising a little bit recently, you know, with Sonic Mania and, you know, obviously the TV series is starting to get on the good tracks, and this just seems to undo it all.
Derailed. Oh, well, you can see the trailer and it'll soon be changed for the next trailer. Like they did with Alita, actually. They changed her from the first trailers because they were like, her eyes are huge and weird. And then the next one, they were still huge and weird, but they weren't as huge. They really changed her facial design after that.
They were bigger.
They were in the first trailer, they were much bigger.
Oh, wow. Okay, because, yeah, that was really quite uncanny.
Mm. But, yeah, it was even more uncanny at the beginning. So, yeah, this is going to be happening more and more. We're going to be sort of crowdsourcing our movies. We're all a focus group now, and I suppose it's the same thing with games being in permanent beta, really, in early access for 5 years. We're all just a focus group. That's what we are. Pay your money and then play the unfinished thing forever. Out out and about this week. We're going to start with Golf Blitz, which is the another sequel to the Super Stickman Golf series. This one is exclusively multiplayer focused. You are playing against three other people in real time on the same golf course. And so it takes what is traditionally a quite sedate, chill pastime and turns it into this kind of Worms-style real-time nightmare. And it's really, really good. Genuinely excellent. So it just opens up on a course, and the courses are all, you know, 2D. If you've played Super Stickman Golf, you know what you're looking at here. But they'll be arranged in, you know, weird levels, lots of cutaways, lots of little caves and valleys, and you have to try and get to the hole at the bottom or corner of the screen or wherever it is. And you just put your finger on the screen, drag and pull back. You put your finger on the screen. I was going to say it's like Angry Birds, but actually there is a golf ball in the middle of the screen, and you kind of pull and twang that in whichever direction you want to go. Try and get to the hole. And it's not even like get to it in as few shots as possible, though that will get you there quicker. It's not a par thing. It's just get to the hole and pot. Pot? It's not snooker. Putt.
Put.
Before the other three characters do. And the great thing is that the balls of the other three characters have a presence in the game. This isn't like a friendly fire thing where the balls just pass through each other. You can smash your opponent's balls out of the way. And when you're all on the putter green, which is very common, because everyone takes a shot at roughly the same time, because it takes a little while to recharge your shot, you'd have like 3-4 people on the putting green, all trying to putt for the hole, all knocking each other's balls out the way just as they take the shot. And it becomes this great little scramble for the hole at the end. They've also added this card system, so it's got a slightly, not Clash Royale, but you know, it's got that charging mana bar at the bottom, and then you have a selection of cards which you can use to change the effect status of your ball. So you can add an effect that makes it more precise, a kind of sniper shot. So the little banding that appears when you pull back, which shows how your ball is going to travel through the air, the width of that becomes much thinner, so you can target things specifically. And you've got another one which sets your ball on fire, so it's massively powerful and it goes for miles, but it's quite inaccurate. And you have one which allows you your ball to kind of skip along the ground much faster. It's kind of an anti-friction thing, so it'll actually just travel further when it's rolling along the ground. And you got to play them all tactically, and matchmaking's really quick, really fast. You unlock the different tournaments as you play through, earn experience. It is free to play. It does have stuff you can pay for if you want to, but you can play as much as you like. And just the multiplayer aspect of it, brilliantly handled. It's always been a good series. Mm. And I really raised an eyebrow when it was like multiplayer only. I was like, oh no. But no, I think it's fantastic. It's one of the best multiplayer things I've played in ages.
Very good. You gave it a gold award, didn't we?
We did. I think Harry reviewed it, but the video review's up on YouTube as well. Check it out. Just download it. It's really, really, really good. Very impressed. Golf Blitz is the name. All the platforms, iPhone, iPad, Android right now. Matthew, what have you played this week?
So I've played NBC Universal's series, Your Story Universe.
That's a big old mouthful right there. What the hell is this?
So this is part of NBC Universal's new mobile division. So they've sort of relaunched it. You know how Marvel have been doing with like the Spider-Man games, where they've just sort of like decided, look, we're going to start again, really concentrate on mobile titles and go for something new. So this one is they've took a load of like 90s properties / early 2000s and created loads of story adventures. So you've got the likes of Saved by the Bell, The Breakfast Club, Xena Warrior Princess, Vanderpump Rules, Law and Order Investigation, and
wow,
yeah, there's a few others. There's quite a lot, to be fair, and I think they've got an original series in there. So I've been playing through the Saved by the Bell series because I'm a big fan of the series. I watched it as a kid. Kelly Kapowski.
The repeats of the original 80s version, because we've talked about your youth already. Surely that was way too young for you.
It was 90s when Saved by the Bell came out, wasn't it? Like late 90s.
No, it was... because I saw that when I was a kid. And if I saw that, that stuff is old, man. Let me just double check here.
I remember it being on TV when I was growing up, but I don't know if they were repeats or original airings.
1989 to 1993, my guy.
Oh, wow. All right. So they were repeats when I watched it growing up then, because I used to watch it on Nickelodeon. And it was one of my favourite shows as a kid. You know, Kelly Kapowski was my first crush, TV crush, so I'll always remember that.
Oh, you are adorable. That's awesome. But yes, I remember it. And Screech is a sex pest. Who knew?
Yes, he is. And funny enough, they've took him out of the game. So,
have they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So you've got everyone else. So you've got Zach, Slater, Lisa, Jesse, and Kelly. Okay. But you basically replace Screech. And how it works is it's 90s throwback day at Bayside High School. So say it's 2019 and you're going back to Bayside High School. And then you find Screech's locker and you get thrown back in time to when everyone was back in school in the original Saved by the Bell. And you switch places with Screech. So Screech is now in the future and you've taken his place, basically. And the whole story is basically how working out how to get back to the future.
Okay.
But it's a complete story driven, and you've got options basically to win over Kelly or Jesse. So I was straight down that route. I was concentrating on Kelly. I'm like, I'm going to the dance with her. This is my plan for the whole adventure. It's undoubtedly cheesy, but it is pretty good. There's no theme music though, which is a bit strange. So like, it opens up with the Saved by the Bell, the actual opening.
Yeah.
But the theme music's completely different, which is
it's like a Sony trailer. Oh, there is music. Okay.
Yeah, I found it now. I'm looking at the...
Yeah, so it's not the exact theme. So there's stuff like that that's taken away from it, little bits and pieces. It's also the decisions thing's a bit odd. How it works is you get 50 gems when you start the game, and you can use these gems for premium decisions.
God.
But they take away from... impactful story. A decision, a premium one, will cost something between 25 to 30 gems. Mm-hmm. So by the time you've done two impactful decisions, you've got no more gems to spend on it. So you're having to say no to options or picking the least most interesting option, which it takes away from the story. And the only way to get gems is you complete a chapter and you get one gem. I think that's it. Oh, you can watch an ad and you can get one gem. But when they all cost 25 to 30, it's going to take a ridiculous amount of times to be able to even continue with it, if you see what I mean. But I'm enjoying it so far. I'm three chapters in. I will see it to the end. That's my plan. I will get Kelly.
Oh, God. I would like to issue a correction. Dustin Diamond, I think it's the guy, the Saved by the Bell dude who played Screech.
That's right.
Wasn't sex pestry. It was knife stuff, wasn't it? He stabbed a dude or something in a bar and brawl.
He also did a sex tape and released that online, and then also did a biography slating all the actors.
Okay.
And now he's like totally wiped out from existence.
I knew sex was involved in this summer, but I don't want to slander the dude and say, because he's not a sex pest. He was just got convicted on some knife charge or something, which also isn't great. But interesting choice that they chose to erase him from Saved by the Bell history.
Definitely.
He's no longer canon. Okay, so Universal Studios series, colon, Your Story Universe, :, Saved by the Bell. That's out right now for free, if you want to have a go at that. Dan, what have you been playing?
I played a bit of Astrologaster.
Okay.
So it's like story-driven and it's choice-driven. So people come to you and you're playing as a guy who was essentially like an entrails reader, but like with reading the stars instead. And people come to you with their problems and then you interpret the stars to come up with a decision on what you tell them the cause of their problem is. So someone might come to you and say, oh, my stomach's not very good, blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, you're drinking too much. And then they go off. But where it gets interesting is that you've only got kind of like 10 or 11 of these customers. And it directly affects the story because they all kind of know each other. So one person will come to you and be like, oh, my business partner's being a so-and-so. What do you recommend I do? But then three or four customers later, the business partner will come in. And if you're paying attention, you'll realise that what they're saying ties directly to the decision that you made earlier. And another couple of people who come in are like a married couple. So like you can advise to a woman that, say, her husband's drinking too much, and he might come in and be complaining and now complain that his biggest problem is that he's not allowed to drink anymore and stuff. And it's just quite entertaining. I really like the art style as well. It's got that pop-up book style art style that, what are they called? Nam Yam.
Yeah, super pretty. So these are the guys who did Tengami.
Yes, yeah.
Which was also really, really beautiful looking mobile. It's kind of like a puzzle platform adventure thing. Mostly just puzzly, just kind of wandering through a world. But that had a pop-up book aesthetic too.
And they've really got that down. I think the writing in this is exceptional.
Okay, that's good to know. We'll do a proper review of this one as well. It's £4.99 premium style on iPhone and iPad. I don't think it's on Google Play at the moment. But we can double check that to make sure. So that's out and about this week. I've played a little bit of Kingsman: The Secret Service, which we do have a review up for now. Harry's done it. This is weird because A, it's very late in the day to be having the Kingsman game appear. This probably should have coincided with the launch of the last movie, I would have thought.
Yeah, it looks like it's based off the first movie as well.
It looks like it's got bits from the first and the second in it. I don't know.
I've seen a lot of stuff from the first movie so far. But yeah, so this is a very... It's actually very nicely produced, sort of sneaky stealth combat game. The thing that this made me think of most is a slightly more platformy version of the Assassin's Creed game that came out recently. Not Identity, I forget what it's called. But the one where you can like approach enemies and then choose how you want to take them down.
Yeah.
This kind of has this. This is a little bit more real time than that. It's a bit more platformy because you can move left and right to walk. You can drag Angry Bird style in order to jump onto platforms, which is actually quite nice It's not bad. It feels quite good in the context of a platform game.
And they used it to knock people off of edges and stuff, and they all fell dynamically.
You can zoom forward and smash into people.
Yeah.
But also, it engages a sort of bit of a bullet time. So if you pull back and when you jump, you'll see that some of the dotted line towards the end of your jump, the space where it's indicating your jump, that's like bullet time zone. So you jump through the air and then it'll slow down a bit at the end. And then you can choose to maybe take a shot or whatever you want to do. But you also have the option just to walk up behind people and then stealth knife them in the back. You're talking to the characters. It's a very, like, your character is teeny tiny on screen. But it's a nice cartoony, sort of slightly big-headed art style that works really, really well. I haven't played enough of it to really care. I think that Harry gave it a 7 and says that it's pretty solid and better than you'd think from a very late-in-the-day mobile movie tie-in.
Mm.
But it felt surprisingly good. I was expecting it to be garbage, frankly. But no, it's not too bad. We'll look into it a little bit deeper and get a video review up for that soon as well. But Kingsman the Secret Service is the name of that one, and that's free on iPhone, iPad, and Android. It's Android too. Nice. All right. I said free. I lie completely. £2.99.
Ooh.
Ooh. This changes things. Interesting. I have to see if it's worth that. I need to play more. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled. Also, Audia came out. This, I've only played about like 15 minutes of this, but it's really nice. It's proper lovely. So it's a little game where you are a blob and you are, once again, lots of Angry Bird style pull back and release stuff going on here. You're basically a blob with an eye in it. And you have a vertically scrolling tunnel on the screen, which is full of creatures and, mushrooms mainly, but also surfaces you can stick onto. Little dots. Dots are scattered throughout, almost like, you know, if you went to a wall climbing or rock climbing thing in a gym or something, and they have those handholds. It's like those scattered over the back of the wall. So you're eventually just pinging between these little handholds. Jump, jump, jump. You can also jump onto bits on the wall, but also sometimes you'll find the handholds themselves are moving, so you need to aim and time it right. You need to avoid creatures that might mess you up. You need to collect some things along the way. Mostly, it's just very pretty neon style. It's done in that slightly bioluminescent look, you know, the underwater glowy Avatar style.
Yeah, it's very tranquil.
It's really chill, and it's about timing, and that's kind of it. You know, it's just pull and release, timing, aim. Very nice. Feels good. I want to see how much it develops after, you know, the first 50 minutes or so. But it's instant pick up and play. Ah, this feels comfortable, and this feels solid, and just landing it is satisfying, and... Yeah, I'm kind of impressed. So it's £3.99 at the moment. It's 40 in the adventure charts, I think, right now. But that's iPhone only. iPhone, iPad only. I don't think it's available on Android. I think that's it for most of the new releases.
I played a little bit of the rather poorly named Nightstream.
Nightstream?
Yeah, okay. So what that is it's kind of like a third person behind the character platformer, but you're in a tube. And you drag to move around the walls and dodge obstacles that are upcoming. And you're meant to be kind of like surfing through data in this kind of cyberpunk future, trying to rescue this guy's friends. And it's really quite well made. Looks very pretty as well. And the controls, while I had some issues, because I'm running a very old Android phone at the moment, had some issues with it, like reading where I actually was on the screen. I know that if I was playing it on something that could actually do proper inputs, that would have been really fun. And it was hard to put down as well, which I quite like in mobile games.
Is this a new release? I'm seeing reviews from last year on this one.
Received an email like 2 days ago saying it was out. So whether it's just received an update or whether it's...
Might be an update or early access thing or something.
Perhaps. Maybe it was its full release. So,
yeah. Okay, so Nightstream is the name of that one. All right, I think that'll do us for this week. Thanks, as always, for listening. Do your liking and your subscribing and everything else that you're probably not going to do because it's hassle, innit? But go on, give it a go. We'll like you. I'll send Matt around. He'll give you a hug.
That's a promise.
The Matthew Ford promise. So come back and join us again. I am going to be away, not next... No, actually, I am traveling up on Friday. I'm going to try and do the podcast early next week. I think that's what we should do because I'll be away in Seattle doing the next Pocket Gamer Connects event for that week. So looking forward to that. But we'll get a show out before I go.
Cool.
Hand on heart. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.